Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
Thank you. Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
In the movie The Secret, I quoted Dr. Wernher von Braun, who's considered by many as the father of the space program. He said, the natural laws of this universe are so precise that we don't have any difficulty building a spaceship, sending people to the moon, and we can time the landing with the precision of a fraction of a second. He also said these laws must have been set by someone. And you know, it's strange. It's not that long ago when science and religion were really considered antagonistic. That's not so today. It's looked at it now, one studying the cause and the other studying the effect. And von Braun said, after studying the spectacular mysteries of the cosmos for many years, he had arrived at the firm conviction that there is a God. I see the laws as God's modus operandi. It's how everything happens. The Secret was based on the concept of the law of attraction. And because the movie went viral, it was all over the world, everyone everywhere was talking about the law of attraction. People writing books on it that don't really understand it, people speaking on it that many of them advertise their ignorance when they talk about it. I'm of the conclusion that attraction is not really understood in any depth by most people. Now, I've studied this every day for 50-some years. And I can assure you, attraction is a law, but it's a secondary law. The primary law is the law of vibration. The law of vibration is one of the basic laws of the universe. It decrees that everything moves, nothing rests. We literally live in an ocean of motion. Do you know that everything is an expression of the same thing? The leaves, the tree, the cement, the body, the clothes. It's all energy at a different rate of vibration. You see, your body is a molecular structure in a very high speed of vibration. Your brain is an electronic switching station. Your brain does not think, but you think with your brain. There's a difference. As you activate brain cells, you set up a vibration in your body. For me to just move my hand like that, I had to activate brain cells or my hand wouldn't have done it. If a person's had a stroke where the blood just stops going to a section of the brain, those brain cells become dead. The movement in the body, in that part of the body that is controlled by those cells, stops. Vibration is something that must be understood if you're going to take control of your health. It must be understood if you're going to take control of your relationships. It must be understood if you want to become wealthy. And if you want to really master the art of selling, vibration is an essential. You've got to understand it. And yet almost all the sales training programs that are done worldwide have nothing about the law of vibration in them. It's Robert Louis Stevenson said, everybody's selling. You're selling an idea, product, or a service. And it's true. The teacher's selling the student. The parent's selling the child. The child's selling the parent. Well, what do we mean, selling? Well, the professional salesperson understands that selling is doing something for someone, not to someone. And the professional will sit down and they will get to know the prospect. They will find as much about the prospect as they can. They'll have permission to ask the prospect questions. They'll gather a lot of information and they find out where the prospect wants to go, what they want to accomplish. They mentally get on the prospect's frequency and help the prospect go to where they want to.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that sometimes you're right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you're driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build those shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know that know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them. And there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big. Because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their.
All right, time for another installment of It's My House podcast. And in a few minutes, we're going to go over something. Well, I've been working on this idea of setting up a school for a few years now. So as we did a clubhouse convo Friday night, early Saturday morning, something popped in my mind, the title. The name of it, which I've got up on our Facebook group, and our Facebook group is It's My House TV, at Gold Egg Asset Builder University. That's the name of the school. Gold Egg is one word. Gold Egg, second word, which is a word itself, is not two. Asset Builder, that's one word. Asset Builder, they're connected, is one word, University. And primary overall program deals with generational wealth science. It dawned on me after over 2,000 It's My Houses that, because within generational wealth science, there's estate planning. But that's a course that really needs, in my opinion, needs to be taught in school, generational wealth science. No college is teaching it, to my knowledge. You got people teaching estate planning. What I'm talking about, generational wealth science. And the word science means knowledge, when that includes estate planning. So it's much more than estate planning. In any event, the school motto is stop killing the goose that lays the generational wealth gold eggs. Because that's what I've noticed from case after case after case, year after year after year. You got somebody trying to kill kill the goose that lays the golden egg. And that goose can come in many different forms. So we're going to go through some of the things that we'll be talking about, that we'll be offering with Gold Egg Asset Gold Egg Asset Builder University. That's just three words. Gold Egg is one word. Asset Builder is another word. It's not two, it's one. University, that's last three. So we'll tell you how you can attend, where there are physical classes, where there'll be virtual classes. But the physical classes, where you want to, that's where the rubber hits the road. In any event, we'll be back in a few minutes as we get some training day in.
What?
Like that.
Oh, no, you didn't. Wait a minute. No, you didn't. Hey, Jay! Hey! Jay! 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 Come back here! Jay! You disloyal, fool-ass, bitch-made punk. Jay! I need my money! Jay! Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. Huh? You think you can do this shit? Jay! You think you can do this to me? You motherfuckers will be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get finished with you. Shoe program, nigga. 23-hour lockdown. I'm the man up in this piece. You'll never see the light of day. Who the fuck you think you fucking with? I'm the police. I run shit here. You just live here. Yeah, that's right. You better walk away. Go on, walk away, because I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Shit, I don't
fucks. I'm winning anyway. I'm winning. I'm winning any motherfucking way. I can't lose. Shit, you can shoot me, but you can't kill me. Ah. Shit. Oh, what a day. What a motherfucking day.
My laptop to unfreeze. Anyway, so Gold Egg Asset Builder University, where our primary goal is to educate people on generational wealth science. The word science means knowledge. And once again, our school motto is stop killing the goose that lays the golden the generational wealth gold eggs. That's essentially the ancestral house. What's the ancestral house? If your parents, it's the house you raised your kids in. For them, hey man, but I mean, eventually it'll be their ancestral house. How are they going to keep that house onto the next generation? How's that next generation supposed to keep in the house as long as possible? There is a study of estate planning, which is included under this umbrella, but generational wealth science, so I didn't know anybody else teaching it, so we're organizing a school under it. And we already got the land, so. And there's now on our scrolling marquee on Blog Talk Radio, we got three pictures scrolling today. One of those pictures, you'll see the picture that I took is on the Florida 4 acres. You see three people in the picture. That's on part of the 4 acre campus where we're only going to have one building to start. Okay, but hey, it's a start. All right, so once again, the school motto is stop killing the goose that lays the generational wealth gold eggs, because a lot of people do that. Some of the topics covered, oh, and by the way, while it's on my mind, because today's Monday, on Friday we have a movie review. Okay, so today's Monday. You got 4 days to watch this movie. You can watch it for free on YouTube, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. That's Friday's movie review. Okay, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. That is a classic film directed by Ivan Dixon. For those of you who don't know who Ivan Dixon was, if you guys watch the TV show Hogan's Heroes, the first five, because I think it ran for, yeah, it ran for 6 seasons. He was on for the first five, and he was one of the original cast members of Hogan's Heroes. He was the black dude, Ivan Dixon, and he was also the de facto second in charge within that Hogan's Hero thing. That was probably his most prominent role. I haven't heard too many. He doesn't really bring it. In any of the interviews I see, he doesn't really give it, I think, the shine, because that was really an impactful role. But for him, I mean, you know, he's an actor, so actors got their own thing. But anyway, it was directed by Ivan Dixon. So that's Friday. So you got tonight. You got today's Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You got 4 days to watch for free on YouTube. The Spook Who Sat by the Door, that's this Friday's movie review. Okay. Now, back to today's quick topic, Gold Egg Asset Builder University. That's our place. We start with a one-room schoolhouse, which will double as a sleepover cabin as well. But that, hey, that's where the budget's at. Okay. But it's on our first 4 acres here in Florida, and because we're using it as a workspace. Education place where we can build stuff and teach people how to build stuff. So somebody, now what's going to be taught at Gold Egg Asset University? The general, the primary focus of the school is to educate people on generational wealth science. And the word science means knowledge. So it's just from doing over 2,000 podcast interviews, talking to other people, being on their podcast, blogs, and all this. There's a lot of people in the general market, regardless of race, religion, or color, that really don't know a whole lot little or nothing at all, really, about generational wealth at all. I mean, there's a huge abyss out there. So, I said, we know what, instead of waiting for somebody else to do it, let me start with what I got. I got 4 acres and a little cabin that we're going to put together, which will be a one-room classroom. That's how I'm starting. And we'll have, we got all, you know, people with internet connections and all that. So we'll have different instructors, because one of the things that we'll be teaching people, and not just talking, but teaching people, and it's in the title of our name. We're going to be teaching people. Now, how do you get the gold eggs? Because I'm basing this heavily off the fable, the goose that laid the golden egg. We all know how that ended. When the ignorant farmer got, well, he was ignorant. He wasn't happy getting one golden egg out of that one goose per day. So what we're doing is we're teaching you how to build your own assets. Now, the assets that we'll be teaching you, from me, coming from me, and then others that I call into it. Some will be teaching about mobile homes. Some will be teaching about tiny, you know, solar houses. I'm included in that bunch. Some will be teaching you how to make cupcakes, because a cupcake, as we went through last week for Mignon Francois, the cupcake was was the goose that laid the golden egg of the cupcakes that she took from $5 to $10 million. Actually, you know what the whole thing is? What came first, the chicken or the egg? What came first, the cupcake or her grandmother's recipe, which wasn't even written down? But it doesn't matter. She took that and $5 and turned it into $10 million. So there'll be different people that will be telling you their goose. And then some people, instead of killing the goose that lays your golden egg, okay, an example of killing the goose would be selling the ancestral house, selling the business work. Instead of killing, we're going to show you, look, create a gaggle of geese. I think that's the right thing you don't want those here. Create a gaggle of geese. Like with Mignon Francois, she now has two geese. She's got a goose in Nashville, Tennessee, and she's got a goose that saved her house from foreclosure in New Orleans. She's got two geese, and one of those geese alone bought the house out of foreclosure, and they still have it. Matter of fact, you know what, that fable of the ugly duckling, that fits in there too, because she took a house that was facing foreclosure and turned it into a beautiful swan. But that's another fib. We got to mix those two in. But yeah. So she's got two geese that lay a lot of golden eggs in the form of cupcakes. So we're going to bring people on different simple businesses where they it could be lawn care, it could be cleaning houses, it could be cleaning toilets, whatever. But the message that we want to come put across to people is everybody has at least one goose, at least one. Everybody, whether you know it or not, everybody on the planet has at least one goose that can produce golden eggs that will take care of all their expenses, all their bills, and prosper them and their loved ones. Everybody. You just have to be sure, you know, guided on how to do it, how to bring it about. All right, so topics covered. Generational wealth science, you know, and under that, gentrification literacy. There's some people out here, particularly here in the United States, that believe that, you know, the man, the white man, white supremacy is the cause of gentrification. Not true. The primary cause of gentrification is gentrification. People who get gentrified, their neighborhoods get gentrified, typically are gentrification illiterate. So we're going to teach you about gentrification literacy. See, this all comes under generational wealth science. We're also going to talk about generational wealth math. Now, I'll give an example of this. You okay? Wait a minute. Star. Okay. I need to cool this dog off. Okay, anyway, I'm paying attention to my dog. She was gets overheated quick. You know, wait a minute. Let me go check on my dog. Give me a few minutes. I'll be back. I'll pick up from this out, and I'll go straight to the phone lines.
All right. So today in the federal courts of Washington, D.C., the Cherokee Nation was dealt a huge blow in their fight against the freedmen. Now, for those of you that don't know, freedmen are the descendants of slaves and free black people that were living on Cherokee land in 1866. And in 2007, the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma, this is a western band of Cherokee, by the way, Osceo, for those of you in Cherokee Nation, they voted to, I guess that I'm used to saying disenroll. So they chose to disenroll or to take the citizenship of 3,000 descendants of free blacks and former slaves of Cherokee Nation members and take away their citizenship. Now we were fooling. Nope, you didn't read the treaties well enough. You didn't read the treaties word for word. And we're voting to revoke your citizenship. Those freedmen took the the Cherokee Nation to court. I'm Comanche, so I keep wanting to say Comanche, but this is Cherokee we're talking about, not my tribe, Cherokee tribe. And so those freedmen sued. Now, to go back and just do a little bit of history on the Cherokee belonged to the five civilized tribes. And the five civilized tribes were in the southern region of America. They were the Choctaws, the Creek, the Seminole, the Chickasaws, and the Cherokee. And the reason why they were considered civilized tribes was because they were assimilating into white culture. They owned land. They owned property. they owned or they were dressing as white people. They had converted to Christianity. So they were assimilating into white culture. And one of the things that they were assimilated into is the farming style of the whites, which included slaves. So they were purchasing slaves. And John Ross was one of the biggest slave holders in the Cherokee Nation. And John Ross took the federal government to court when they were trying to remove the five civilized tribes out into Oklahoma. And he won. He took it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay. I had to cool my dog off here. All right. Anyway. One of the topics before, and I'll go to the phone lines right after this, is a lot of people, when they have a, they might be facing foreclosure, they might be facing eviction, due to various reasons, reverse mortgages, taxes, whatever. Inheritance, theft, or family infighting, what they really have is, and a lot of people think they have a legal problem, and the first professional that they go to typically is a lawyer. I say, and this is one of the reasons why this school has been birthed, and we can set this school up, anybody within the sound of my voice, anywhere on the globe, we can get something started in your neck of the woods like today, because we can come to you virtually, and then eventually we'll have something on the ground in your neck of the woods. But I say most people who think they have a legal problem when it comes to a piece of property, a house or what have you, no, what you really have is a math problem. You really have a math problem. And typically, when you go see a lawyer, the lawyer is, first thing, the lawyer is not coming from a, and there's two things we're dealing with here. Okay? You need to learn how to play financial offense. And you need to be aware of defense. And typically when you go to a lawyer, he's giving you legal defense. But you don't have a defense problem. You don't have a legal problem. You have a math problem. So one of the courses that we'll be teaching in real time with real case studies is generational wealth mathematics. Other courses will be ancestral home economics. This has nothing to do with baking cookies. Okay. But ancestral wealth home economics, which is something that you need to start teaching the kids is before they even start talking, or when they start talking, when you give them the blocks and all that. And how to set this thing up, because when you have a child, let's say you just birthed a child this morning, okay, 50 to 65 years from now, you need to prepare your child on how to transition into owning that property within 50 to 65 years from today's birthday, the day they were bought into this planet, whenever they were bought into the planet. Because if you don't, and like once again, you've got to think 50 bare minimum, I'm going to say bare minimum 30 years out. But I would go out 65 to 100 years out. You have to think that far out, because if you don't get them in a habit and educate them at an early age, see, by the time they're 15, 16, they should know this stuff. So if anything happens to you, and something happens to us all eventually, might be 1,000 years from now, but eventually we transition. They need to be prepared for it. And that's one of the common denominators that most people, most neighborhoods that get gentrified, the inhabitants of the gentrified, their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents didn't think, you know what, this baby who can't even walk yet, we need to educate them. And then here's the bad thing. A lot of us, we think we take our kids and we turn them over to the state to get educated. But that's a whole nother podcast. In any event, so you got a math problem, a generational wealth problem. So we're going to teach, we're going to have actual generational wealth math problems that you're going to have. You remember those word problems that you had in third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade or whatever? All right, well, you're going to be figuring those real problems like that in real life. Except it ain't going to be with apples. It's going to be with houses or cupcakes or car, whatever it might be. Real life math problems. Once again, most people who have a problem with housing or after somebody passes on or whatever, you don't have a legal problem. I'll give you a prime example. The late Dr. Frances Cress Welsing had a house in Washington, D.C. I spoke to her probably about 3 years before she transitioned. And I'll go over her case one day more in detail, particularly under this thing of generational wealth math problems. Dr. Frances Cress Welsing went through three attorneys. And her case is documented, too. She went through three attorneys on, you know, she didn't lose her house, but she was trying to protect her home. And those three attorneys couldn't help her out. She transitioned. I mean, that's how it ended. But Dr. Frances Cress Welsing didn't have a legal problem. She had an arithmetic problem. So that's one of the cases that we're going to dissect, along with real live cases in different locations right here, along with, you know, the distinction between a financial offense and financial defense. Lawyers give you defenses, they don't give you offenses. Okay. Financial literacy skill sets. You might have to pick up some new skills. Like me, I'm picking up the skill of carpentry. That's where I'm at with it. That's a financial literacy skill. And then financial literacy power tools. In any event, 773, your mic is open. 773. Okay, she probably stepped away. So we'll take this little musical interlude. We'll be back. Thank you. is one word. Asset Builder is a word itself, so it's just three names in the title. Asset, excuse me, Gold Egg Asset Builder University, and our overall topic is generational wealth science, because there is a huge abyss out there of people that know how to basically save the same, well, our model says it all. Stop killing the goose that lays the generational wealth golden eggs. How to save the family house. Okay, now, let's see. 773, are you available?
Yes. I was trying to switch over. I was in another screen and trying to unmute my phone. So thank you for coming back to me. Certainly want to educate and thinking of the word re-educate. Even some of the terminology used as I listen, civilized, civilization. Well, according to the audio that you shared a minute ago, I would say that those indigenous people were established. So we compare being civilized to white established. That's, you know, so, because to the indigenous people, they were civilized based on the definition of civilized humans. So nevertheless, I always learn something, you know, listening in and participating in your podcast. I invited my cousin to my cousin on my grandfather's side. Okay, I'll say my maternal grandfather's side. She was left the house, and the family wanted to just take the house. She was legally left the house. They destroyed documents, you name it. So I wanted her to just call in and share her story. I've known of others who were facing issues and ended up donating. I guess that property may have been paid for. But when it comes down to foreclosure, legal rights to properties, generally, a lot of times, as you said, the attorney, the lawyer, is basically just showing us how to do the math. For myself.
No, they're not even doing that. They're coming
with... Well,
no,
they're supposed to be. That's really what we don't know. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, legal defense.
To your point,
but they're not,
that's what they should be showing us.
You don't have a legal problem. You have a math problem.
Well, they're not showing us that. In my case, to your point, with that property...
You had a math problem.
No, I didn't. I did the math. I did the math. And he didn't like it. He just wanted me, first of all, I was paying him. I paid a retainer fee, and I was paying him for a court appearance. So we had several court appearances, of course. But it was really simple. I was willing to pay once the city tore the building down, because his trickery to me was, you don't want to open up probate, which is not true, because I probably could have gotten help fix the property up, or just say, hey, well, you just have it, and I could have got a loan. The family could have said, well, no, we don't want to fix it up. We just want some money from it, you know. And I was making decent money, more than first-year teachers make. And I chose to, I told the court, we pretty much weren't dealing with the, we were in building court. But we weren't dealing with building code violations. Once I agreed, once we clarified no one was living on the property, my father had educated me on that prior to him transitioning. He says, well, they can't cite me on building code violations because I'm not renting it to anybody. So the standard is, and he actually did home mod. He worked for the city at one point doing home modifications for seniors and bringing buildings up to code for property owners who had resident properties that were rented. And he said this, so I remember that. A lot of, you know, my father's shit stuck with me, except for the fact that I would say it stuck with me. I just didn't quite get it. You know, sometimes you have things when you need it. I bought my mother from her mother's house from her estate prior to my mother transitioning before my dad. They were divorced. And they both had properties when they were in their 20s. My mother was like 18 when she married my dad. He was 21 with 4 or 5 properties. Paid for. So that my background, but my siblings, my brother has property. My sister wanted the money. She ended up with the money, and still to this day she has an issue with that. But getting to my father's property, I had an issue with that, my mother's property, because I had a predatory mortgage on that house. So when it came down to my father's property, I had the money. I did the math. Okay. So you say, okay, once, you know, we got, okay, the building was only torn down after the crooked liar that I hired went in on that last court date and said that whatever, I don't even know exactly what it said, so I need to pull the court transcripts. They, last time I was in court, they said they didn't have my files, my records, which is, doesn't make sense. They said that they were in, so people play games on different levels. So the church obviously had some pull, but how is it that it's been a month or two, but you say that my documents, my court documents, are not in the City Hall building, but they are in, or the Cook County Court building, they're in storage in another building somewhere, and I needed to order them. So I checked back a couple weeks later, my documents still weren't there. You know, it's just a game. So the building was leveled at that point. And I wanted to see what had actually occurred because I had to fire the attorney, of course. But he knew that I was doing the math. He had been paid and was being paid, but they may have pulled him to the side and offered him some type of deal, or maybe the church did. So from what I understand, I could still pull that back up. But doing the math myself, he didn't really care because, keep in mind, doing the math, I had the money to pay for probate. If I could pay him, retain him, I had the money. At one point, I didn't have it. And so at this point, I have it. I had it. If it was $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, I had the money to open up probate. One attorney said it would take about $2,000. So this attorney was just trying to make some money from it. Ironically, I went into his office at one point, and he had been sipping on a little something. And I was pretty much open. My focus was just to get my property on point, you know. So I kept the building, boarded up, you name it. And I would take my lunch break to make sure that it was still boarded up. And if it wasn't, I would have someone to help me put the boards back up. So the church next door was working to get the city to cite me on building code violations for not keeping a vacant property boarded up and so forth. So now building codes is not an issue at that point. And once that attorney went in and said whatever he said to the court, I guess maybe he told them I was no longer interested, just I couldn't afford to pay the demo fee, because once they tore the building down, which that amount was incorrect. In the city of Chicago, when a property is leveled or torn down, it's $20,000 for the first level and $10,000 each additional level. It was only a two-story brick building. So the X was already up there, which people were like, oh, well, you know, this X that they put on the properties, it, all that means is abatement. People have to also, besides math, they need some literacy skills, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to help people do the math, educate them, understand the terminology. So when they say abatement, that means that they're going to set up rat traps if they tear the property down, if they decide, because that's just a warning. And many, many people don't know. They say, oh, well, they're going to tear the property down because the X is up there. No. You just go to court and you let them know that that's not a vacant property. I mean, it's not an abandoned property. Because, of course, they don't want things festering in vacant buildings, and people could be living in there, or, you know, could be bodies, all kinds of crazy stuff in vacant properties. So the abatement process was not legal either. I would say not abatement. the X on the building did not mean that they were supposed to. That's what they were doing in the city of Chicago. Alderman Dowell was there in the third ward where my late father's property was located. The X's on a building does not mean immediate demolition. It just is just a warning to let the public know that if the property is demolished, that they would set up traps. However, there will still be rodents, whatever, that may still spread out into the community, but that they're obligated, that's their obligation to make sure that there are no rats and other varmint running all over the community, because that property is vacant, you know, rats infestation, making babies all in there and everything. So ultimately, I did the math. So they're like, I did the math. And now the property's torn down. It was going to be just about $600. My rent for the house that I was renting at the time was probably $1,050 a month. The $600 a month, like I didn't have any, I did have a car note at that point, but that was pretty much it. I didn't have like a whole bunch of credit cards and other debt, utilities, easy to pay. And so the $600 I was willing to pay the city back for tearing my property down, even though it was without my permission and it was illegal. So ultimately they weren't supposed to tear the property down. But once it was torn down, I was like, okay, I'll pay. And so now we're still talking about the estate itself. So what I lacked in knowing what to do, I did go down and I did, I did an assessment on the taxes when the property was vacant. Now, when a building was leveled, I still, and someone advised me that I still could have gone down to do an assessment on the taxes, which would be lower, because people always, did you pay the taxes? Oh, you lost it on taxes. Not necessarily true, because before the property was leveled, there was a tax buyer on the property, okay? So when the property was leveled, you know, he paid the taxes on a physical building. It's gone. So he was entitled to his money back. The purpose of the alderman having that property torn down is because the church next door wanted to expand their parking lot. So they had swindled and tricked a lot of seniors who owned buildings. They stole one property. Our property had the church's name on it, someone, a representative from the church's name on it. My dad went down, you know, at that time, and he got their name taken off of the property. He was also trying to, as you said before, we had a brief conversation about people in situations where they don't necessarily know how to do the math, even just to collaborate and come together. Somebody may know how to do the math and say, well, it's not necessarily the legal problem. You just need to understand what you need to do to work those figures and make knowing working those figures work for you. And we also mentioned on yesterday about how to maybe collaborate. Let's save my house, or let's save your house first. And, of course, if I'm pooling my money together with you, then, yes, I have a portion of ownership in that property, let's say a year or whatever. The thing is, a lot of times people don't trust each other enough, but you will trust an attorney who may be crooked to take your money and – you know, and all attorneys are not, you know, crooked. You know, when I get my law degree, you guys obviously will know that I'm on up and up. if there's an error, a good attorney, you can pull that coattail and say, okay, well, this is something that either I overlooked. And keep in mind, attorneys are consultants. So you consult with them, you tell them your issue, and they figure out based on current law. And if there's, like in my case, where there was not necessarily anything that had occurred in that way, because most people, when they see the X in a building or a property is inherited, they just say, okay, well, you know, I have a place to live. They just let it go. They don't actually fight in court a lot of times. They don't fight in court. And at this point, of course, it wasn't about paying rent. It was building court. It wasn't eviction court, foreclosure. You know, it wasn't that issue. But knowing how to go about making those numbers work for you, and they can't. So I'm just encouraging, you know, our listeners to just say, hey, there is something we can do. Because someone offered me to buy the building. I said, well, I don't need you to buy the building. There's no mortgage on it. I just need to know how to get the city off my back, and I had to figure it out on my own. But unfortunately, I hired that crooked attorney. Nevertheless, because knowing the math, and he must have gone into court and told them that, well, no, she doesn't want to pay the $600 a month once the city tore the property down. Once again, the leveling of the property was illegal because they did that. They demolished the property not too long. It may not have even been a month after they put the X on the property. And I got the letter. I got the letter, I think, maybe a day before or somewhere up in there or after. I think I got the letter probably after they tore the building down. Let me see. No. I got the letter that's stating when they will probably be setting up traps in case of demolishing the property, in the case that they would do that. So that's part of why it's okay to, you know, it's good to just review, because keep in mind, that's what attorneys do. They look through paperwork. They go back and forth, and you do want to go. So that's what I was trying to do when I was trying to get copies of the court record and what occurred even after the attorney went in and obviously told them that I no longer had interest in the property. Keep in mind, the other illegal thing was the judge asked if there were other interested parties that had not been contacted. Keep in mind, once you are contacted and made aware that we're in court about this property and you are an interested person, meaning heir or what have you, the court is obligated to make sure that the attorneys or fair people to reach out to any known heirs or interested persons in that property about the court proceeding. So I have an uncle in California who he was actually reached out to when I first retained this attorney, because we were actually – he did the help with something, and that was actually David Kadai. He actually did help to do the quit deed. Ironically, my brother said he lost the quit deed papers. My sister, she signed over her portion of the estate to me. Of the property, her interest in the property, my uncle did, and there were only a couple other siblings, you know, still living, and let me see, out of three-fifths, so, yeah, my uncle Gerald, he didn't have any interest, and he didn't want to have anything to do with the property but that's one thing to say it, but he had been contacted, so when you don't respond, a lot of times, keep in mind, and that's just on a side note, Brother LA, a lot of times people don't know that they've inherited the property via cash assets, maybe a loved one's checks or municipal benefits or rebate. I looked some things up and I saw a rebate from Illinois Bell for my mom. So the treasury, what is this, the state treasury department? No. Is that the state treasury department? I haven't had my weed.
Well, I don't know.
When you claim your property from the state, when property goes into the state, when they take.
I'm not going to ask that question, too. I don't know.
Okay, so
if
basically,
anybody
I think
out there
it's
listening,
the state treasury department. Yeah.
Okay. Well, every state does have a treasury. Anybody that might
yeah,
know.
Yeah, so share the number, please.
And it might be, you know, different states or different locations have different names. Like, for instance, in Columbus, Ohio, they have based on the movie, what's the name of that movie? I don't mention it on here enough times. Oh, Flag Wars. In Columbus, Ohio, they have what is known as environmental court. Now, in other areas of the country, well, like Washington, D.C., they don't have an environmental court, but what they call environmental court is housing court. And both of them really should be called code enforcement court, in my opinion. But different places have different names for for the exact same thing now. So you need to check on, you know, what it is for whatever particular neck of the woods you're talking about.
I just got a message.
So there's a general treasury. You know, I don't know how that's all organized.
Yeah, state treasury department, I think. I'm going to look it. I don't know why I made a loan for it. It's actually called.
Because there's a city treasury. There's a county treasury. I know that much. Now what kind of funds are they dealing with? I don't know.
Well, it's anything that any assets that are not claimed, unclaimed assets. Just people, you looked that up.
Mm-hmm.
Unclaimed property. Baba Will, he just sent a text. He said that link is not good. I also just clicked on the link that you sent, and the link
what
is
link
not
is
good.
That?
I need to share the link to this podcast. The Baba Will probably trying to call in. He's the one with the Chicago Land Farmers Initiative.
Okay,
what's the number again? 619? Can you share?
Yeah, 619-768-2945. That's weird.
I'll send you guys that number, 619-768-2945, if you guys would like to call in. So
right.
I'm just going to share that again with those.
Let me go to Blog Talk because... I took it off there like I always do.
Actually, I could probably just get them on 3-by. Let me try that.
Yeah, but everything, listening to you, everything you said is, I'm looking at, that's a math problem. It might have turned into a legal problem somewhere down the line, but essentially it's a math problem or a series of math problems. Let's see. Okay. Copy link. Just copy link. I'm going to send it back to you again. Once again, people, Friday we have a movie review. This week, Friday movie review will be The Spook Who Sat by the Door.
Okay. By the way, I do have Baba Will Crosby on the line. I was able to pull him in through the three-way.
Okay, fine.
Okay. So you can unmute your mic, or does he... Can you
or
hear
if he's unmuted.
I'm thinking...
No, you got it. All right. If you're
muted...
Yeah,
because I'm unmuted. We should be
we
fine.
We can't hear him.
Baba Will, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, yes. Go ahead and share your thoughts. So, any questions?
Let's try to find out what you're talking about.
Okay, so this is Brother L.A. Remember, we're... he actually sat in on those first few meetings. He built a tiny solar mobile cabin. So the show today is talking about generational wealth building. The gist of it is not getting rid of the golden egg or the gold egg. So the title of the show is Gold Egg.
Well, yeah, let me run through that real quick. Yeah, thanks for coming on. Today's podcast is titled, I'm Opening Up a School. It's titled Gold Egg Asset Builder University. That's three words. Gold Egg is one word, Asset Builder is one word, and of course you got university. And the overall premise of the school is to teach people about generational wealth science. Of course, the word science means knowledge. And the reason why I'm doing that is because now I've been running this podcast titled It's My House for 8 consecutive years. This December the 24th will be 9 consecutive years. The common denominator that I've found over the last 8 years of this show, or 8 and a half now, and even prior to this show being birthed out of somebody trying to take a house of mine in Washington, D.C., is generally speaking, regardless of race or color of ethnicity, people know little or nothing about generational wealth science. Now, under generational wealth science, there is a topic that's brought in itself called estate planning. But most people don't know little or nothing about estate planning. And even when it comes to gentrification, gentrification, some people think that gentrification, white supremacy or the white man. No. Most people that get gentrified or neighborhoods that get gentrified, the common denominator is the people that live in that community are gentrification illiterate. They need to become gentrification literate, and all that comes under generational wealth science. Now, the motto of Gold Egg Asset Builder University is, stop killing the goose that laid the golden egg. And I set this whole thing up, based on really something real simplistic, the fable of the goose that laid the golden egg. Now, of course, we know once that goose was killed, there were no longer golden eggs. So in a case of a neighborhood, neighborhoods are made up of houses, okay, individual houses. And I'll give an example. A house next door to my house in Washington, D.C. I live in Florida, but I have a house in Washington, D.C. Sold recently for over $500,000. But we're just going to stop the meter at $500,000. Okay, they got more than that, but $500,000. Now, the family that was the star that broke the camel's back of how it went down that pissed me off. And that's why I say I got to do something about this. So, now I'm not hating on my new neighbors and all that, but let me give you the backstory on this. Now, the house was, the owner of the house, or the previous owner now of the house, I'll just call her Miss C. Miss C is 101 years old right now, as we speak, in June 2022. 101 years old. Miss C came up from South Carolina. I don't know where she met her husband. I knew him too, because see, I grew up next door. All right. So when I was living in D.C. So she had two kids, and she raised them. They got married, started their own families. And then after her children became adults and had graduated from high school, she went, and then after she and her husband had paid off that house, which I call the ancestral house, which is the gold goose for that family, she decided to go back to school, night school in Washington, D.C., and get her GED. My stepfather, who was living at the time, because he had a master's degree, he was an educator in D.C., he had a master's degree in mathematics, he helped her study so she can get her GED. So this woman had raised two kids, helped them get their high school diploma, paid off a house before she got her GED. All right. And was knocking at the door of retirement when she did. So she got her GED like in her 40s or 50s probably 50s. In any event, so she's 101 years old right now as I speak. She's in a nursing home. I don't know the backstory on that. No judgment. But her two children, and she's got two kids. She's got grandchildren from both. And she probably has great-grandchildren by now. But they decided to sell the house. She bought the house for probably under $18,000 at the time. I'm saying that because when we moved in, I was riding a tricycle when we moved in. My mother bought the house that I still have control of. My mother bought it for $19,500. So I'm putting that they probably bought the house for at least $18,000 or less. All right, let's put it at 18. So from the early 60s, or 1959, somewhere around there, until a month, 2 months ago, let's put it at 2 or 3 months ago, they sold, I mean, that house went from $18,000 to $500,000+. All right? It took a long time to grow that egg. All right? That egg, there's a lot of golden eggs that came out of that house. All right? And one of the children that, you know, because they split up to $500,000, and she made some improvements, put a deck which cost $10,000 plus. My whole thing is that, first thing, by selling the house, they have killed the goose that laid the generational wealth for that egg. So if one of their children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren have to start over, want to start a business or anything like that, they have to, we're talking about three generations now that have to start all over from zero. And that's the part I don't like. Now, the people that moved in, my new neighbors, which I have to meet, you know, my lawman has met them, but I've got to meet them, and I'm sure I'll be cool with them, they're Asian, and they own nail salons. And their primary customers are black women in the DMV. And I don't know if they own more than one nail salon, but they got at least one. So they had enough, and within a nail salon, you've got a gaggle of geese, and their golden goose are giving nail salon services to women, or men if they come in and they need their nails done or whatever. I don't know because I've never used those services. But they got a gaggle of geese, at least in one. They all lay golden eggs by the day. If they got six technicians, that's six people, that's laying multiple geese, I mean golden eggs, per day. They had $500,000 cash, and they closed in a week. That's why we're having this podcast. We have a clubhouse chat tonight and Friday nights now. We just started last week, me and Reba, because this really, it's an information abyss here. It's an information abyss. So it doesn't have to be the golden goose or the goose that lays the golden egg. Doesn't have to be real estate. One person that I mentioned last week, quite often, and I'll mention her here again. She's a black woman, Mignon Francois, originally out of New Orleans. She was losing her house to foreclosure. She and her family, she's got seven kids. She and seven kids and her husband lived in two rooms. The electricity and the water got cut off on the same day. To take a bath, they had to get water from an outside source, and they would give the baby the bath first because the baby was the least dirtiest and was the cleanest. So they had to recycle that bath water each day for eight people. One day, somebody knocks on the door, the lights are out now. It's a real estate agent. And says, look, you know, those cupcakes you've been passing around the neighborhood? And she got the cupcake recipe. See, that was her golden. That was her goose. Her grandmother gave her a recipe over the phone on how to make cupcakes. Took that recipe with $5 and took the order from the real estate agent asking her to bake. Long story short, in one day she took the $5 and turned it into $60 by flipping cupcakes. By the end of the week, she turned the $60 and it's $600. Since she has expanded to another location in Nashville, Tennessee, you can look up her website. It's called the Cupcake Collection. She's got videos on that. Once again, her name is Mignon Francois, black woman. Mignon Francois, that's her name. She took the $5 and has turned it into $10 million. Her goose that laid golden eggs was the cupcake recipe. Everybody's got a goose that can lay golden eggs. So my whole thing is through this podcast and through the chats that we have on Clubhouse tonight and Friday night, and then with offline events that we'll be having, it's the offline events is, okay, it's to help a person identify their goose and how to help it keep on laying those golden eggs, I mean eggs on a regular, and then how to develop, just don't start with one goose. Get you a gaggle of geese, just like these Asians, my new neighbors, they have a gaggle of geese under one roof. All that's missing is the information on how to do it. That's why I call it generational wealth science. That way we can stop killing it. Like I'm sick of it. We're killing the goose, and we're basically making, we're making, well, anyway, I'm off my, let me get off my soapbox. Sir, the floor is yours if you have anything to add. What do you do? Hello, anybody there? Okay. Somebody might be on mute again.
Baba Will, are you still there with us?
Leave a number.
Let me text him. Yeah.
Okay. 619-768-2945. I went off on a rant. In any event, in your neck of the woods, because we're ready to go with live streams now, on, because we want to get local, we want to get in the communities, so we can do live streams now based on your specific geographic location, and we're ready to get boots on the ground in your specific geographic location to feature people in your neck of the woods, because like I say, everybody's got a goose. Everybody's got a goose. The trick is, all right, how do you have it lay golden eggs on a consistent basis? And then after you have one goose, all right, what do you need to do to get a gaggle of geese? It could be nails. It could be cupcakes. It could be cutting the grass. It could be cutting hair. It could be building tiny homes. It could be building bridges. But everybody has got a goose that lays golden eggs. Everybody. And don't get bent out of shape if somebody takes one of your goose or geese. Okay. Because as long as you know how you got that first one, you can get as many as you want. Reba, any luck?
Okay. I know, I like that. You know, don't give up. You know, I like how you said everybody has one.
Everybody has one.
Sometimes they just don't know what it is that they have. They may see someone else do something or create something. Or do something with a skill, such as baking and so forth. I mean, you even mentioned to me if I can cook when we talked about Sister Mignon.
You've raised three men to adulthood, so God knows you've cooked thousands of meals, okay?
Yeah,
so out of that, you probably have a gaggle of geese. All you need is one to start. It's got to be, I'm sure each one of your sons has a favorite dish that mama cooked. Okay. Each one of them has their favorite dish you cooked.
Right.
And each one of those, I mean, the three combined is a gaggle of geese. I mean, if you wanted to go that way.
Right, right.
You know.
And I actually never thought about it.
You speak Spanish.
Yeah.
That's a goose.
That's what I love to teach, yeah.
Yeah, you like to teach.
But then I could probably teach how to do math selling my brownies. So that's one thing that I mentioned to you. I certainly wouldn't mind doing that. I never thought about, but it's a consumable product. I sell Mary Kay. You know, we know about Avon. We know about consumable products. It's easy to sell,
right,
as long as it's a good product. Oh, my goodness. I did check out Myron Golden. So come for a good product. He said if somebody else thinks it's good, an audience, or if the audience thinks it's good, he said it's easier to sell. So keep in mind, my children and I, we love my brownies. Even if I don't really feel it's like they're my best batch, they love them. So
interestingly enough, that was amazing. Those links that you sent are on my other phone, so I just Googled him.
Right.
Amazing. And I have two of my sons to listen in, too. My oldest son,
okay.
He thinks in the same mindset as far as, because he said stubborn, said coaching, stubborn or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the title. So Myron Golden, he teaches wealth on biblical principles.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm just sharing with the audience, but you will introduce me to Myron Golden. I've probably seen him before on YouTube. His name sounded familiar, but I'm so grateful that you shared. Like I said, I don't know if that was a particular video that you wanted me to watch. However, I found his video.
Yeah, I listen to at least an hour, sometimes maybe 2 hours total throughout a 24-hour day of Myron Golden.
This is episode 157. Mm-hmm.
Right. And mind you, people, now I haven't set foot in the church in years. Through the pandemic, I went online a couple of times. Yeah, I do the prayer thing. I do pray, and I keep a prayer journal, and I do tithes and offerings. That's what I do. But he mentioned something. Two things out of Genesis, and I'm going to take dramatic license and give it a "It's My House" spin on it. Chapter 3, Genesis, which some people might call the fall of man, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But here's my spin on that. And it doesn't matter whether you call, because you know, Genesis is, that whole story, the creation story, is allegory and symbology. But I'm giving my spin on it. So you can stick with Adam and Eve, those names, or it can be Sam and Gladys. You pick any two names you want. Now, he had placed, and let's call it the creator. The creator or the architect created this garden, which he called paradise, and he says, look, I provided everything you need in here. They got all these trees in here. You can eat fruit of all these trees except for the one in the middle. The one smacked in the middle is called the tree of doubt. That's my It's My House twist on it, the tree of doubt. Or the tree of doubt and lack. Don't even touch that one. But you got all these other trees, and this one's far away. This is in the middle of the garden. All right. Now, after I read that, listening to Golden, I went and looked up how many species of trees exist. Now, this isn't in the Bible. I looked at the Torah, because the Torah is in Old Testament is one and the same. So I looked up how many species of trees exist on planet Earth right now in 2022. And there are at least, I think, 73,000 to 74,000 species of trees on planet Earth, with about another 9,000 more that scientists believe that exist, but they just haven't been formally categorized yet by man. But that's over 70,000 species of trees that Sam and Gladys, or Adam and Eve, they had pick of all of them, but they walked past all of their abundance of trees, and they focused in on what they didn't have. And they went to ate the fruit of the tree of doubt and lack in the middle of the garden, which they were told not even to touch it. So that's what a lot of us do. A lot of us, including me, we get involved with ventures. It could be the rent. It could be a business venture. It could be a car note, whatever. And when we eat the fruit of the tree of doubt and lack, this is what it sounds like. I don't have enough money. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how. When you're speaking doubt, when you focus in on doubt, then, but if you flip it, if you reframe it, and start asking yourself, how can I afford to buy this Bugatti? How can I afford to buy this Tesla? How can I afford, now for me, how can I afford to get a miter saw? How can I afford to get a Sawzall? Because I'm working on carpentry right now to build tiny houses. So I had to change my speech and focus on what I could do versus thinking what I couldn't do. Switching over, so we get whatever we focus on, okay? That's the story, at least that's what I'm picking out of that chapter 3, Genesis. Now, if you go to the very first sentence of Genesis, okay, and there's a word in there. Now, I'm not trying to sell people on religion or anything like that. I don't go to church, all right. But the first sentence in there is he mentions the word used is creator. Now, if he's a creator, I'm supposed to be creator. Now, what's another word for creator? Builder, architect, what have you. And if you look at what he was doing is he was thinking, first thing, the creator, God, Allah, Buddha, whatever you want to call him, is a builder, creator, and we all get these ideas. All these ideas are things that we can build upon. And then number two, he didn't think small. A lot of us get in trouble or have problems because we think too small. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox on that because I'm not a Bible study teacher. I'm not a pastor, nothing like that. I'm just saying. Okay. But anyway, back to you, Reba.
You're speaking the truth. You're certainly speaking the truth. I don't know what happened with Father Will, but I did reach out to a couple more people with the Chicagoland Farmers Initiative. When you talk about wealth, a lot of times families save money. They own the property, and then they also plant a garden in the back of their home. I remember growing up having a garden at the house I grew up, you know, and my uncle tending to it. We were able to – he watered it a certain way. Sometimes we were able to water it. Okay. Mama Evelyn just text. She says she's on the call. Mama Evelyn.
If she raises her hand, if she presses one,
yeah.
We can get into the conversation if she chooses to do so.
Okay, yeah. Generally, I press star one to go into the host queue, Mama Evelyn. So, Brother L.A. and Mama Nicole, she was invited as well. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Mama Evelyn. Press star one to go into the host queue and Brother L.A. will let
you
in.
And I'll see it and I can pass you right in. Okay, and somebody's done that. So 773 again, your mic is open.
Hello?
Yeah, you're
hi,
you're
welcome.
Here,
hi, how are y'all this morning?
Fine.
Well, thank you. How are you? Sound good.
I'm blessed. By the best.
Good.
Okay. So you were asking about reclaiming our youth day.
Well, I certainly wanted you to share, make that announcement, but today's topic, we are, you know, that link that I sent you, the first one did not work, so thank you for calling in, gold-ed asset wealth building and generational wealth building. And so reclaiming our youth is key in that. I would love to do, like, a workshop off to the side a little bit here and there. Spanish workshop with the children or something.
Well,
Educate. Reclaiming Our Youth Day is going to be July 30th. Mama Evelyn, you want to share what that is?
July 30th from 9 a.m. to 5. It's a totally, completely black celebration. All of the vendors that we invite are black. All of the children that they hire for the day are black. All of the speakers for the day are black. This year we're even doing a DJ battle between two 10-year-olds. It's about reclaiming our community generationally. So even though it's called Reclaiming Our Youth Day in honor of my three grandsons that were murdered, we have what we also call that day a walk, listen, and then talk team, where the adults walk through the crowds and they introduce themselves to the young people and listen to what they have to say to then develop positive change. We have speakers that day, one for the youth that talk about the importance of family, one from the mother and wife, and one from the father. And each group is given an oath, and they are prayed over on different things to rebuild the nation. Our main goal is to show our young people that there are people that look like you that are willing to support you if you're doing positive things. So we encourage young people, if they make cookies at home, to bring them a card table and set up and sell their cookies that day. It don't cost them anything. Now, if you're an adult, if you're 21 and over, yes, you do pay something, but you pay it to the young people that work with you that day, that you train that day. If they're 7 to 13, you give them $25. If they're 14 to 20, you give them $50 for learning how to work with you that day to produce their own businesses. So the message
I like what you're saying. Could you give us the backstory of how this started and how many years you've been doing it?
This is our 10th anniversary. And no, we don't seek media attention because we do not want the ceremony distorted the way they did Kwanzaa, telling everybody it's a Black Christmas and it don't have anything to do with religion. It's about spirituality. In the same way with this, I talk to all of the stuff that we feed the children all day long free, and it's stuff that I can come with out of my pocket. I don't ask for donations. I ask for participation, okay? And that's to see our men and women out talking to young people who are constantly saying repeatedly that we won't talk to them or that we label them. I have been working doing community outreach for over 40-some years, since the 70s. I've never been disrespected by a young person in the street, and I walk up and talk to them everywhere.
Yes, you will.
I've
seen it myself. Even some of the guys
that
young
man
walk.
If a person wanted a booth, how much is that?
I appreciate it.
How much is a booth for a person wanted? If a person wanted a booth, a vendor wanted a booth, how much is it?
They have, number one, they have to be Black. If they work with a child that's 7 to 13, they pay that child $25. They don't pay us anything. If they work with one that's 14 to 20, they pay them $50 for the day.
All right, I got an idea. It's not enough time because this is what, next month?
Yes, it's the 34th, July 30th. It's always the last Saturday in July. And we're going to be at 125 East 26th Street at Trinity Church.
I got an idea, but we won't be able to pull it off until your next year's event because it's a little bit short notice that I'm finding out about it. But I like what you got going now. I really like it.
Well, I'm looking for some support to do change makers in our community. I'm hoping that, well, you know, LaShawn Ford got this thing passed about Dr. Webb Evans for the month of August about it being Black Economic Days. I really and truly would like to get a location big enough, and my goal would be 400 Black vendors to represent change makers, and we would be honoring people like Marcus Garvey, Dr. Webb Evans, Malcolm X, those people who are people who have made a change in our community in the city of Chicago to go better. Because most of us don't know, if we just spend one dime out of every dollar that we spend with other folks, just spend it with ourselves in our community alone,
we can create 20,000 jobs.
The other things that we could do, if we decided to have a dollar a day, and just pick one day out of the month where every Afro-descended African-American or black, however you identify, if we just put $1 aside that one day, that would give us $750 billion to redo our community. But nobody is sharing the information with our young folks.
Well, I'm proud of what you're doing, and I can't help for this year, but next year I already got an idea of what we can do to be a vendor there.
Okay.
Because I'm physically in Florida, so. And your event.
You do what?
Event is next up. But we want to, we'll promote it every week until you have it, though.
Okay.
Well,
you got flyers. Huh?
Yeah, I'll share the flyer. I thought I'd shared the flyer. I apologize. I don't see it in this phone, but I'll send you the flyer for this event so you can at least get a look at the flyer. I've participated.
Well, I like the consistency. She's been out here 10 years with it. That's good.
Yeah.
And I like the innovation of it. That's something like that really needs to be everywhere.
Yeah, and we're talking about generation.
I haven't tried to get other folks interested in doing it, but, you know, we got a problem when folks tell us we have to teach our people how to go back to buying from us. They don't understand that we had our own economic base in our community three different times that have been destroyed because we failed to do the one thing that should have been done first. And that was develop an army to protect it.
You know what, ma'am, could educate me because you done said something. Name the three times. I need to be educated on this. I follow black townships, but outside of them, I don't know anything else.
Okay. Well, you know, we had Black Wall Street here in the city of Chicago that they destroyed.
Was that Bronzeville?
Huh? Yes.
Was that Bronzeville?
Yes.
I don't know much about that. I mean, Reba was the one that made me aware of it.
Where was it?
I didn't process it.
Rosewood
that, okay.
That they burned down and they lynched all of the people. That was a totally and completely black community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They had their own economic base. They got a place in Mississippi. I can't think of the name of that hill where now they won't even walk there. It's still a black graveyard where they were surviving down there in Mississippi, and they burnt them out too. See, a lot of folks don't understand about this country. There is nothing in this country that is being used that would not be invented by people of color. And they created the laws to keep us from going after it. Look how much money people like plow people, how much money they made off of stuff. Look at the woman that invented the flare that people have been using for the last 40 or 50 years that they never gave her credit for. She's still fighting to get her rights to that. Or the black woman that developed the automatic garage door openers. Or the black gentleman that developed that, created their computers.
Mm.
All of the stuff was created by people who look like us, but they never get the right for it. I don't know if you know that there at one time there were certain stores we couldn't even in the city of Chicago, where we couldn't even go to them. At one time in our community, how we survived was through bartering.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. That information has not been passed on to our children. There was a time in our community when you saw a child sitting on a porch, and an adult would automatically say, "Come on, let me show you what I'm doing." And you may learn how to be a plumber that day. You may learn how to do electrical work or hang drywall. If it's a what, you may learn how to sew. May learn how to do some cooking.
And see you now. See you. You're right on time. You're talking my language. Talking my language. My grandmother on my mother's side, she only had like a fifth or sixth grade formal education. Got married at 15. But she, and she had seven children. Now, I don't know about my, because she has six girls and one boy. I don't know about the son, my uncle. But when all of her daughters left home, and my mother left home at 17, she later on became a nurse, RN, registered nurse. But she knew how to make her own clothes before she left home. She can look at it. Matter of fact, she can make anything you're wearing, she can look at you and make it on sight. And that was her real passion. Matter of fact, I'm a few feet away because I'm in one of the homes that she had. And she's got a sewing room. Matter of fact, I'm looking at three sewing machines right now. I need to learn how to sew. So, but I love what you're talking about. What's that?
I said I have two sewing machines in my apartment.
Okay. Well, what you're talking about, I like that. What are you doing that day? And that day they might pick up something where they can turn into a profession.
Yes. And hopefully they will actually make a connection with some of the young people and might want to keep them. My goal is to open up an economic development school and to teach children how to deal with trauma playing games.
Ma'am, let me recommend two games. Let me recommend two board games. One you already know about called Monopoly. But there's two spots on that board, Baltic and Mediterranean, where that's the least expensive place to pick up property on that Monopoly board game. But I tell people to do that in real life. For instance, I've got 10 acres of land in Texas that I picked up for $2,000. That's like two. Actually, I bought it for $180,000. I mean, excuse me, $1,800, $1,800. I say $2,000 because when you include the taxes and the recording fees, I spent $2,000 total. So I say $200 an acre. But, you know, and that's the size of a football field. The other game I'm going to recommend is by a guy named Robert Kiyosaki. He's got two board games called Cashflow 101 and Cashflow 202. Cashflow 202 is about the stock market and all that. But Cashflow 101 is about how to get out of the rat race by starting your own business and getting into the fast track of life where you can earn more money. So those are two business board games. But I think games are a good way to teach business. So I like what you said about that.
I hadn't taken it that heavy because when I was talking about games, I developed different games to deal with trauma. Like I have one that I call the Unity Circle, and it teaches children, shows them the difference between working independently and working together.
Okay. All right. Well, now the school you're talking about, what are your ideas on that?
Well, they will be coming in to learn how to make different things. We would have what we call Recycle Day, where I would walk with them through the neighborhood. And we would be finding different things that I could show them how to repurpose to make different. I would teach them how to make incense burners out of bottles. I can
how to make what out of
bottles?
How to make what out of bottles?
Incense burners.
Okay. Interesting.
Incense. Like you stick incense.
I know what you're talking about. That's a goose that can lay the golden egg.
Huh?
I said that's a goose that can lay the golden egg.
Yeah, I've done that because I didn't have one at the time. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Okay, I'll teach them how to make floor tiles out of old 45.
I'd like to be in there on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, well, actually, there can be floor tiles or they can be used as bricks in case people want to highlight their yard or something in music.
Now, you know what? We can build a house using those two last two ideas she just talked about.
Yeah. So Brother L.A. has actually built and worked on building tiny solar cabins. And I just want to share for I will be doing my first project this year. I promise. Let's get it done with my sons and maybe engage some youth in our circle, Mama E. But just for the audience's sake, this is not just conversation, as Brother L.A. mentioned. We are or have been property owners. I'm rebuilding. Brother L.A. has properties. Mama Evelyn, I just mentioned the fact that you have donated a property to an organization. I don't know if it was, you know, as far as I guess it was paid for or whatever, but I can let you share that. I do want to acknowledge you and extend my condolences about your grandson. And I do appreciate you sharing and continuing on with the fight.
I couldn't stay in that house no more, but I didn't want it to just go to squatters and stuff, so I wanted to put it to a purpose. So I gave it to the Temple of Mercy Association's reentry program.
Okay. And speaking of that particular program, Brother L.A., that the gentleman who runs, well, he's my big brother, an elder, who runs that the Temple of Mercy also has, as far as protecting the community, original Men in Black. So they do canvas community. They actually are hiring, too. So if you guys go to RebaLaMaestra.com or RebaTheTeacher.org, Reba, R-E-B-A, TheTeacher.org, I've posted flyers, Reclaiming Our Youth Day. So you can just, you know, peruse around the pages and see, or you can just plug those names in the search, and you'll be able to find the flyers for those programs. So there's, it's actually more than a stipend for to be trained and to monitor the community with Original Men in Black. And once again, Minister Raheem Aspon, a.k.a. Sax Preacher, he's a musician as well, has been well integrated into the community. He's also the president of an organization that Mama Evelyn and myself are members of, which is United Black American Progress Association, which was founded by Dr. Webb Evans, Mr. Buy Black. So as far as circulating that $1, that concept has been taught by Dr. Webb Evans for years. And I do like the fact that, Mom, you gave the numbers. You did the math for us and said what we could produce. A lot of times people just really can't fathom. Many people can't fathom, like, what we can do with compound interest or cumulative wealth circulating black dollars amongst each other. So I really like those ideas as well for our project. I would love to have that because I thought about, like, the CDs. I did see people back in the day do something with the 45s and things like that. I'm just so excited. Thank you so much for calling in, Mama Evelyn.
Yeah,
I'm going to send you my list of my youth, too, that's going to be there that day. Two of my neighbors next door, they want to participate.
Okay.
Well, part of what she's talking about with their recycling, or what some people call upcycling, it's you got some architects that like what she's talking about is like ahead of the curve. Because there was a guy, Dan Phillips, he passed like last year, this white dude down in Texas. But he used to, you know, recycle, I mean, things that, you know, you would think you couldn't do, but he would recycle them. Like he made a roof out of discarded license plates. But it's a good building material. You know, no leaks or nothing like that. So what she's talking about with the 45s, I got the visual on that. Matter of fact, I got 45s somewhere that I haven't played in years. You know, some people might throw them away. Some people might have them as a collector's item. But so she's got some very innovative ideas. And I really like the idea of, what do you know? Kids that can pick up a profession like quick. Because if we don't teach them something positive, then, you know, they can get caught up with a gang. Matter of fact, are you two, I'm sure you two are familiar with it. I found out about it from a video I heard Denzel Washington was a little kid in Chicago. Oh, man, I forgot. I can see his face, but he got killed. He was like 6 or 7 years old. He was no older than 9 or 10. I don't even think he was 10 years old.
I'm trying to think who you're talking about.
Yeah, hold it. Let me see. I'm putting in a search engine to find it. But, because, see, the idea that I have for your booth, you got it next month, and we'll need about 3 or 4 months to get everything in order to set it up to before we can do it at your thing. But for next year, you know, that gives them enough lead time to organize it. Let me see. I'm trying to find that kid. Denzel Washington bought him up, and then he even made the cover of Time magazine, but it was after his demise. He was killed by a fellow gang member.
I realized while Brother L.A. is looking it up, I was actually, okay, I did say that there was no table fee, no vendor fee for the table, but I will, you know, make a note and share with others that we do want them to go ahead and give a certain amount. I was actually sharing, like what you did when I did that event at my storefront, where a portion of the sales were given. But that actually, you know, that makes sense. And if we know that at least these young people are walking away with at least $25 or $50, and they are willing.
Yeah, I like that. That's very innovative. Well, I found them. Both of you probably heard of this guy. His name is his birth name was Robert Sandifer. Yummy. Known as Yummy. He was 11 years old when he got murdered by fellow gang members in Chicago. Mm. That happened September 1, 1994.
I am familiar with that story. Mama,
yeah,
have I already familiar?
He was a Black Disciples.
I'm familiar with that name.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got YouTube videos and all. So, yeah, when you bought what you're talking about doing, man, I mean, what you're doing, not talking about doing, what you're doing, I like that because, man, that needs to be in God knows every city I can think of.
Well, maybe if we can tour, when we tour with the tiny mobile solar cabins, we can tour that.
Right. Well, like I said, I want to – what I have – the idea that I have is basically set up, you know, as a vendor, you know, have enough space there. Is this event inside or outside, ma'am, or both?
Outside.
All right, great. Yeah, have an outdoor, or they got it outside. Well, basically, you know, you teach the kids how to build a tiny solar cabin right there on the spot from scratch.
Yeah, as far as a project, I didn't mention it to you to do that there, Mama E, because I know that actually, first of all, planning is key.
And then, of course, you have
but
to do.
We did mention the idea that because on 71st Street they have the parking lot adjacent to the church.
Right.
But certainly, I like that. So that's the idea that you were thinking about. The setup
it can be built that day and then disassembled that day too.
That'll be a good trade skill for them to learn.
Right.
Building.
So
yeah,
and that, we include the solar in it and all that. But like I said, we can plan on that for next year.
If Mama E, that sounds good for you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So Mama E does have everlasting joy, and it is amazing. So these are seasons. Can you share more about that? Because you're also an entrepreneur, not only a pioneer, but an entrepreneur, an educator, curriculum developer, creator. And I've sat in that training as well. What was that? First responders? That's what that was when we learned that survival game, the conflict resolution, those games that you created? Yeah.
Teaching y'all how to do street outreach.
Street outreach, yeah. First responders. Okay.
Now,
so
hold on. Break that down. Define what street outreach is.
Street outreach is where you go out to share information from people who may not have it. It may just be to tell somebody there's somebody that cares about you and I'm willing to listen. You go out with you have a goal in mind. I have Reclaiming Our Youth Days that I go out and I just speak life into young people, whether I know them or not.
Mm.
So that's what street outreach is. It's moving with a purpose.
Boy, some powerful people up in Chicago.
Yes. And my sons love your seasoning. I told my 24-year-old, he loves to cook the most. My 27-year-old, he says that he can't cook, but he can make some noodles. If you get hungry, make some noodles. But, yeah, I said, this is an expensive stuff, so I'm going to have him buy some.
It was designed for people who don't know how to cook to make their food taste good. And anything you put
sense.
It on, it will enhance the flavor of it.
Yes, that makes sense. So I got it.
That
AJ
sounds like something
it, so
she can,
help
she can
AJ
sell right there.
Well, yes, she does.
Sounds like she can sell
that.
I'd be willing to buy that. I haven't even sampled it yet.
It's the only 23 spice blend that's made anywhere. McCormick don't even have a 23 spice blend.
Wow, and it is amazing. You have several different types. One, I put it on my sandwiches, and the oil with the seasoning in it, that ain't got nothing on your stuff. I put on my sandwich, the seasoning that I put on my sandwich, because you have several different types. Some I put in and I realize that they all can go anywhere, yeah.
Yeah.
They can go in any dish.
I have taco, I have chili.
Uh-huh.
I have real lemon pepper.
Okay. Now, the one that goes on the salads and the sandwiches, Italian spice blend?
The dressing blend, where you can put it on sandwiches, making spaghetti.
Yes.
If you're making spaghetti, you don't need nothing but your tomato paste and some water.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making
and
potato
I'm
salad,
you're
making me hungry now,
Brother Ellie. We gotta get you some. We're gonna have to take your order and ship you some.
I come up there, I'll come up there just for a week, just to eat.
So maybe we can have some for sale while we're building in this project, and then Brother Ellie and I.
That's what I'm saying.
Several things. We
I'm signing me up for not this year, but next year. Because it'll take about, we want to make it right because we got to build from scratch and then disassemble it, by the time they're ready to shut down that day and then haul it off. So we can include all that.
I meant for my tiny mobile solar cabin. So my project this year, maybe we can have some vendors around. That would be good, yeah.
Right. All right, well, invite on to Clubhouse
tonight.
Because people be fascinated with her.
Oh yeah, they're like, "Where you at, Mama Evelyn?" So, do you have a Clubhouse? The Clubhouse app, Mama Evelyn.
Do I have a what?
You familiar? So, are you familiar with the Clubhouse app? So, you have Facebook, which is an app with video, but do you have the Clubhouse app? Are you familiar with Clubhouse?
No,
it's a social media app.
All right. Well.
Pardon me?
We'll get her there. All right, but she's got access to Facebook because we can do something with Facebook Live with her.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, when she has this event next month, she probably needs to stream that on Facebook Live as a live event.
Well,
she can start promoting that now.
Well, normally I do that with – that was an idea I did want to share with Mama Evelyn. Are you still there, Mama Evelyn?
I'm here.
Okay. So when I was – working out of the Bob Biz Center, when I had my office suite up there and I would do my events, I would do a Facebook Live and let the young people describe their products, prices, and so forth. Prior to that, I do like an overview. I did a little mini Spanish workshop, but also financial literacy. So I don't know, maybe we could do a quiz for a raffle prize. So I did want to talk to you about a few things and my car. I got my car going.
Mm. Hey, you know what? Larry, we need to end it because we're in overtime and before Blog Talk abruptly drops us off.
Oh, yeah, and it'll cut
us off. So thank you all for calling in. And, I'll, you know, Reba, I'll call you back in a few minutes because I like this conversation.